a.m.
Well, it's all.
Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. We are here with my wonderful booth engineer, Eric Ryder. Hi, Eric.
Hey, good afternoon, Julie. Good to see you here on this fabulous Wednesday.
It's good to be here on this fabulous Wednesday. It's pretty wild and windy out there today.
It's a breezy day, that's
it
for
is.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. Little bit of abundant sunshine, though.
So. Do you find when you're taking the dogs for a walk, if they do they like the just straight hot heat weather, or do they like it when it's like breezy and there's a little more interesting weather going on?
You know, it depends on who you ask.
Uh-huh.
And by who, I mean which dog.
Right.
I would say generally they like it cooler, though. But mm-hmm. My dachshund is a sun dog, and she will just be laying in direct sunlight when it's hot out, and it's like, are you kidding me?
Well, I often think if I was wearing a fur jumpsuit, I would probably want it to be a little cooler.
Yeah, although
I don't spend too much time thinking about that, just in case you're wondering, but occasionally I think that.
If you were wearing a fur jumpsuit, what color would it be?
I have no idea. I haven't given it that much thought. Again, like I say, don't spend too much time thinking about it.
Well, I've heard actually that dogs with really, really, really thick coats, mm-hmm. dense undercoats, that it actually insulates them from heat. As well
really?
As cold, yeah. Because, yeah, I mean, you see some of those dogs like Chow Chows and mm-hmm. Samoyeds and those breeds that are just like thick, thick, thick coat. And it's like, oh, you must be dying in this heat, but it does actually keep the heat off as it does cold.
So. Now, we're kind of going on a tangent here, but as long as we're doing that, is it true that dogs only sweat through their nose and their tongue?
They don't sweat through their tongue. They don't. I think they sweat maybe through their paw pads, or uh-huh. at least they secrete an oil. There's glands that's more for scent purposes, but they regulate heat mostly through panting. And
so they don't sweat.
They don't sweat.
Well, that's why they don't use deodorant. Makes
True.
Sense.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't mean they don't stink necessarily either, but that's okay. It's a good kind of stink. Well.
So what do we got for the big show today?
Oh. We've got a whole lot of stuff to talk about. Some very, we've got some events coming up that I'd like to share with people. And some very interesting information about leash laws.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've got to keep our governors on a leash. Is that the new law?
An 8-foot leash. No. But we'll get into that, so stay tuned, because it's not just an explanation of leash laws. It's actually some interesting information.
I just want to point out, if this show is ever repeated in the future, that was in reference to the South Carolina governor that went MIA and
right.
is back now.
Not our wonderful Washington.
Obviously.
No. So, first of all, and we are taking calls all show. So
cool.
Anybody has a question related to something I'm discussing, or perhaps a comment, would like to participate in the discussion, or you have a question about some other dog training behavior or nutrition related topic, I would love to hear from you, and we will send you a bag of treats. Organic, locally made treats.
Perfect.
Yeah, from Metau Dog. So give us a call anytime during the show today. I would love to hear from you. For any reason, dog-related, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. And when you call in, you will be sent to the lovely Darcy Bolts, who is the call screener. And she's quarantined over there in the silent booth.
She's not quarantined.
Well, it's a dog show. I like to say quarantine.
Right, okay. But that makes it sound like she's got the swine flu or something. And she obviously does not.
Rabies.
Oh. I thought she was just shaving.
No.
Okay.
So, give us a call anytime during the show. We'd love to hear from you. So we've got some events coming up tonight. Wednesday night, the Barking Buddha book launch party is at Rock Bottom Brewery, downtown Seattle on 5th. It is from 6 to 8 p.m. And we had Brenda Bryan on the show a couple weeks ago, and we talked about her book, Barking Buddha, Simple Soul Stretches for Yogi and Dogi. And it's all about her classes with people and dogs doing yoga together. So she's having a book launch party tonight at Rock Bottom Brewery. And you can find out more information about that through City Dog Magazine. And the website is www.citydogmagazine.com. So check that out tonight if you are around. And actually have a caller on line one. We have Sarah in Issaquah, so we'll take that call. Hi, Sarah.
Hang on one sec. This happens sometimes, but we can fix it. And now we can say hello to Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Okay, so this may sound like a silly question, but my husband and I were discussing it the other night, and he said, well, you better call up and find out.
Mm-hmm.
Do dogs see in color?
You know, it's a very good question. I have heard both yes and no. And
well, Ted Turner's dog sees in color. But, okay, that's an old, old joke. Sorry about that.
I've heard both, and I'll have to look into this, and I will clarify this as I do some more research on this. But I've heard, you know, there have been dogs shown on TV who can distinguish between different colored balls, for instance.
Okay.
And I don't know whether they just get the different shades, you know, whether they see color, because their eyesight is much different than ours.
Okay.
Their, you know, eyesight is not their primary sense, as it typically is for people with sight. Scent is, so I would say dogs smell actually in color.
Yeah.
As opposed to seeing in color. But, you know, I'd be interested to find out what the studies have been done about the anatomy of the dog's eye, because there's rods and cones,
like, right?
You know, and some are more for light and dark, and some are more for motion, and some are for color and stuff like that. So,
okay. Well, we were just pretty sure that our dog that we used to have knew tennis ball yellow, but we're not sure.
Well, if you want to, we're going to send you some treats. So,
oh, I don't have a dog anymore.
Oh,
I don't
you
have
don't?
A dog. Yeah, but thanks, though.
Well, if we get your email address, when I find out the answer to settle the dispute, I'd be happy to send you an email with the information.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, bye. Very good question.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I have heard recently that you could describe a dog's sense of smell,
mm-hmm,
by saying it's like they can smell color.
Hmm.
Which, I don't know if that's literal, but it's kind of like that's how crazy their sense of smell is.
Well, I can smell orange, but the other colors, not so much.
Good question. I'd love to hear from more of you listeners out there. So give us a call, 425-373-5527. 425-373-5527, or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. So we've got the Barking Buddha book launch party tonight at Rock Bottom Brewery. This Saturday, June 27th, rain or shine, is the Westie Walk, which supports Westie Rescue and Westie Med. And it's sponsored by the West Highland White Terrier Club of Puget Sound. And it's at Marymore Park, Lot A, which is in Redmond. And it looks like pre-registration is at 11:45. And for more information about this, you can visit the West Highland White Terrier Club of Puget Sound's website, which is www.whwtcops.org. And so check that out if you're in Redmond and you want to see a bunch of cute little Westies. July 18th and 19th, Puget Sound Dock Dogs, who we also had on the show a few weeks ago, for dock diving, where dogs actually run off of docks and jump into a pool of water and are measured for their distance and also their height of jump. They will be at the Mill Creek Festival July 18th and 19th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Let's see. This is a fundraiser for Chase Away Canine Cancer. This organization raises money to support and advance the work of specialists in the American College of Veterinary Internal Medicine. So Puget Sound Dock Dogs, it's really fun to watch, and you can also participate. So if you have a dog who loves to jump into water after a ball and will even jump off of a dock, this is the sport for you and your dog. And then we also have RooFest, which is through the Greyhound Pets of America Greater Northwest Chapter. RooFest 2009 will be September 19th at Frontier Park in Graham, Washington. And this is, let's see, they'll have auctions, raffles, food, a microchip clinic, and various vendors, as well as greyhounds available for adoption that will be making their first public appearances as retired racers for prospective adopters. And this event is open to the public and admission is free. So this is the Greyhound Pets of America's biggest annual event, which helps support them. Greyhound rescue is a very, very important task, I guess, for us, because the greyhound racing is actually, I think last year in my home state of Massachusetts, was banned finally because it is not a humane sport. Mm. So X-racing greyhounds do make wonderful pets. So if you're interested in checking that out, you can visit the Greyhound Pets of America. Contact is Lori Bigler, 206-588-9459.
Now, a question. Do you know a lot about greyhounds? Because I have a question about the racing dogs that are retired now.
Yeah.
If you don't have, like, a huge yard, is a greyhound a bad dog to get? Because after doing all those races, he might want to race around quite a bit. And if you don't have, mm-hmm. like, a lot of acreage,
It's a great question. And it's actually... they actually are pretty lazy.
Oh, really?
Meaning, I mean, not lazy with the negative connotation to
right.
that, but they're just happy. And I would imagine maybe even more so the X-racers. I don't know that I'm projecting onto them or not, but that they would just kind of want to hang out. But I think the breed is very, very mellow, very docile,
mm-hmm.
and very sweet. I used to do volunteer work when I was in school at the University of Vermont. We used to go to the Greyhound Rescue of Vermont and take some of the X-racers who had the temperament for it, and we would just load them into a van and travel around and visit different area nursing homes.
I would have put them on a bus. But
put them on a bus.
That's just me.
Put them in a van.
Something about greyhounds and bus goes.
Yeah, terrible. I know, right? Little plug there. So, yeah, we would go visit with the area nursing homes and visit with the residents there who were interested in dogs. And it was really, really powerful. And they were wonderful for that. They're very sweet.
And they didn't take off racing around the
nope.
the rest homes or anything?
No. And there's actually some really great, like, lure coursing is sort of a dog sport that you can do with sight hounds, and greyhounds mm-hmm. are sight hounds, where they actually are trained. It's like as if it's mimicking like they were chasing a rabbit.
Mm.
So they... put these white plastic bags mm-hmm. onto a line that's attached to a lawnmower engine.
Which is like what they do when they're racing in the yeah. the racetrack. They've got the robotic
right, exactly.
bunny that
yeah.
runs around that they chase.
Yeah, they try to catch that. And they're so fast, and it's really beautiful to watch any sight hound. Of course, greyhounds and whippets are going to be just insanely fast and
agile. Now, whippets
agile.
Are like the smaller version of the greyhound.
Whippets, yeah, and then there's Italian greyhounds.
Right.
So they have some Italian greyhounds.
Are the Italian greyhounds miniature greyhounds? Because I've seen those, too.
They are Italian greyhounds as a breed. They're not miniature greyhounds, but they look like they were miniature. It's just like people seeing Shelties and being like, oh, that's a miniature collie. They essentially look like
miniature versions.
Right. Okay. But it is an Italian greyhound by breed. And then so the whippet would be like the medium version.
Okay.
Yeah. But they are their own breed. Distinct.
Interesting.
Yeah. Lure coursing is awesome. If you have a sight hound especially, check that out. There's clubs in the region. It's really, really fun to watch. Rhodesian Ridgeback, Irish Wolfhound, Saluki, Afghan Hound, all those sight hounds. It's good stuff. Yeah. And we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
Give us a call with your question. This hour is dedicated to our listeners and their calls. And you can call us at 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington at 888-298-KKNW. That's 888-298-5569.
Is your pet suffering from allergies, cancer, arthritis, back pain, or digestive upset? The Holistic Animal Clinic treats these problems and more using holistic veterinary medicine and acupuncture to bring your pet to health. Dr. Masami Seplo's treatment supports the body's natural ability to heal itself, are non-invasive and highly effective. If your pet doesn't tolerate medication or nothing you've tried is working, visit theholisticanimalclinic.net or call 206-723-3809 to make an appointment. That's www.holisticanimalclinic.net, 206-723-3809.
Get your dog to smile with treats good enough for people, but specially made for dogs. Introducing Bitolove, the treat that's made in the U.S. with USDA-inspected meat, without any artificial flavors, colors, or byproducts. It's guaranteed to make them smile. So the next time your four-legged family member comes walking through the doggy door after a hard day of chasing birds and digging holes, put a big smile on their face with some slow, roasted, mouth-watering Bitolove dog treats. And don't forget to stop by Bitolove.com to learn more about our variety of flavors.
Thanks to its listeners, Alternative Talk 1150 has become the most refreshing talk radio in our area. Now we want to hear more from you. Log on to 1150kknw.com and take a brief survey. Besides helping improve your favorite station, you'll have a chance to win an overnight trip to Victoria, BC, courtesy of the Victoria Clipper. Log on now to 1150kknw.com to be heard and to have a chance at winning. Contest details posted online.
The Barking Lounge is Seattle's premier dog daycare and overnight boarding facility. With 24-hour supervision dedicated to the health and well-being of your pooch, it's no wonder why the Barking Lounge was voted best doggy daycare in Western Washington. New customers can mention this ad and receive a free temperament test and day of play care, a $44 value. Offer available for a limited time, valid for new customers only, and has no cash value.
Are you suffering from neck pain, back pain, headaches, numbness, and tingling? At Favreau Chiropractic, you have the opportunity to experience healthcare's leading form of spinal rehabilitation that has been proven to relieve pain and permanently realign your spine. Located in Seattle's Madison Valley neighborhood, Favreau Chiropractic offers a comprehensive service that goes far beyond cracking your back. Visit www.favchiro.com. or call 206-726-9595. That's FAVCHIRO.com. A different approach to chiropractic.
You're listening to the refreshingly different Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we've got another announcement today. But before that, if you have any questions, dog-related, training behavior, or nutrition-related, we would love to hear from you. So give us a call, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527, or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. So free advice.
Perfect.
Everyone loves that, right?
Absolutely. For my money, you can't beat free.
So just to let those of you know who may be new listeners, my name is Julie Forbes, and I am the owner of Sensitive Dog, and I am a dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist here in the Seattle area. And I've been working with people and dogs total for over a decade now, training behavior specifically for over 7 years. And I do most of my work in people's houses, so I do lots of in-home private lessons and evaluations, intensive training programs at the house as well, and group classes, basic obedience class, and just for fun, agility classes. So that's me. It's So I'd love to hear from you if you have a question. 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5569. So we had on the show way back on the show a few months ago, we had Kat Albrecht, the founder of Missing Pet Partnership.
Right. And she works with like bloodhounds to find missing animals, right?
Not just bloodhounds, but shelter dogs. All dogs have an amazing sense of smell. Right. And some dogs are more motivated to do it, so they make better search dogs. But she actually does have a bloodhound currently who is in training to be a local search and rescue dog to find lost dogs, which is different than being trained to find lost cats. It's actually more extensive training that has to happen in order to get a dog ready to be able to track a lost dog. And his name is Zeke, and he is a bloodhound. And Kat and Missing Pet Partnership need your help because Zeke, the canine pet detective, is supposed to find lost dogs. But last week, Zeke, instead of locating a dog, ate a rock. He's a 5-year-old bloodhound, and he was rushed to the vet, where an x-ray revealed that a rock the size of a golf ball was lodged in his small intestine.
Ouch.
Yep. So he had an emergency surgery to remove the rock, which went smoothly and without complications, and Zeke is well on the road to recovery. However, the rock may yet sink the volunteer program that Zeke is involved with. So Kat Albrecht, the former police officer turned pet detective, is Zeke's guardian and trainer. And she's also the founder of Missing Pet Partnership. And she is looking for help from the community to support her in covering the bills for Zeke's surgery to keep him alive and able to finish his training so that he may search and rescue lost dogs in the area. It's a very important job, and there's a lot of training that goes involved in getting these dogs ready for that. So to find out more about the organization, to either donate to the organization or to donate for Zeke's Vet Fund, go to missingpetpartnership.org is the website of the organization. That's missingpetpartnership.org. And you can also email Kat, which is kat@pethunters.com, to find out how to support them in recovering some of the cost of those bills. But Zeke is doing fine. I've actually met Zeke. He's a cool dog.
Well, that is the wrong way to get your minerals.
It is.
So, Zeke, steer clear of the
rocks.
You
need to chew your rocks, Zeke. Don't just swallow them. So, some information there. So, I had mentioned earlier that I had some very interesting information about leash laws. So let's just first talk about leash walking and etiquette, because it's really becoming more and more of an issue now, especially in heavily populated areas where people are either letting their dogs off leash in places that are not off leash dog parks or not walking with their dogs under control on leash, / walking with their dog on a retractable leash where the dog is potentially, you know, 26 feet ahead of the person, not in control. I mean, just spatially, that's so far ahead.
Right.
The person can't really control what the dog's going to do. So, like, if you're walking around, you know, I've had this experience where I've been either walking around Green Lake or walking in the Arboretum or walking in Seward Park or any of those heavily traveled footpaths in the city where I've got my dogs on a 6-foot leash walking at my side, and then somebody has their dog on a retractable leash or off leash, and they just allow the dog to kind of pull them over to us, and that it's very disruptive, it's very inconsiderate, and is sort of like an intrusion.
Yeah.
So it's important for people to really learn how to, you know, do some training. It's usually very straightforward for, you know, to teach your dog how to walk on a loose leash under control. It's more enjoyable for everybody, including people around you, which is so important. Again, these days, there's more and more dogs out there. Dogs are becoming more of a fixture in society. And along with that are issues that are coming up, especially for people who maybe don't like dogs. Shocking, but they're out there.
There's one or two.
Well, Eric, it turns out that retractable leashes may very well be illegal.
Really? Is this new, or is this that they've...
It's not, actually, but let me clarify that. Retractable leashes that are extended out past 8 feet is technically breaking the law.
Oh, okay.
Because the leash law says that makes it illegal for a dog to be at large in dog control zones, which is basically entire sections of King County. States that a dog is at large if it is off the premises of the owner and not under control of the owner by leash. And it clarifies that that is at large is defined as not within the owner's premises or some other premises with permission and not under the control of a leash no more than 8 feet in length. Seattle's leash law does not apply in off-leash parks. But so it's clearly 8 feet is the maximum length of a leash that you are legally supposed to walk your dog. So when you've got your dog extended out to 25 feet on a retractable leash, not only is it bad etiquette.
And potentially dangerous for the dog as
absolutely.
Well. Because they could, you know, wander off and meet a much larger dog that is, you know, feels like it has to defend itself.
Yeah.
There could be a fight there, or it could
absolutely.
Wander into traffic mm-hmm. or any of these problems.
And it's also, too, you know, that there, it brings up lots of interesting points. But, mm-hmm. You know, one thing is that people will often, like, as it pertains to other dogs, people will only really consider half of the equation, which is their dog.
Yeah.
And, you know, shout out to you, oh, it's okay, he's friendly. And it's like, well, what about my dogs? I mean,
right.
My dogs are, you know, maybe my dogs aren't friendly.
Yeah.
or maybe.
People usually don't shout that out, though.
Right.
Don't.
Well, they
you should.
You should
run away. This dog is vicious.
Well, if the
but
dog.
But they should. Yeah, you're right.
Well, and some people have to. And I have, you know, I work with people a lot around this issue where they do have dogs when they're working on their, you know, aggression towards other dogs mm-hmm. on leash. And by the way, dogs who are friendly with other dogs, who go to dog parks and go to daycares off leash and are totally not aggressive can
right.
act aggressive on leash.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to just sort of shout out my dog's friendly and then leave your dog open to whatever might come their way, you're not doing a good job of protecting your dog either.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take a break and we'll come back and talk more about this. If you have comments or questions you'd like to participate in the discussion, we would love to hear from you. 425-373-5527, 425-373-5527, or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
Are you a doctor, dentist, or therapist? Have you ever wished you could take your dog to work with you? Visit HealingAllies.com to find out how you can train your dog to become a clinical therapy dog in your office or clinic. Clinical therapy dogs provide people with joy, affection, and emotional support in healthcare settings. Research shows that therapy animals have positive psychological and physiological effects on clients and patients. Meet your newest staff member, your dog. Visit HealingAllies.com or call 206-406-1455 for more information. That's HealingAllies.com.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick and Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Urban Beast.
Fresh,
modern,
fun.
Seattle's destination for all your pet needs. Located in the South Lake Union neighborhood at 217 Yale Avenue North, directly across from the REI flagship store. Urban Beasts features unique accessories such as toys, beds, collars, leashes, and more. They have a great assortment of healthy food and yummy treats for the pets you love. Open 7 days a week and offering free parking in the Alley 24 garage. Come see what the Beast is all about.
When was the last time you caught your dog eating a stalk of wheat or corn? Evolved as carnivores, your dog is designed for protein in the form of fresh meat, not the grains that fill conventional pet foods. Bursting with fresh, free-run chicken and turkey, wild-caught fish, local fruits, vegetables, and botanicals, Origin mirrors the foods nature intended your dog to eat. Family-owned and operated since 1985, the Origin mission is clear. Biologically appropriate foods from fresh, never-frozen, regional ingredients. Origin Pet Foods, the diet nature intended.
Lewis and Clark would be proud. We're exploring new territory on the air every day right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we're talking about leash laws and leash etiquette. One of the most important issues, I think, now, as we, you know, dogs are becoming more of a fixture in society. And so there's lots of problems that are coming up.
They've always been a big fixture in society, I think, but it's more and more people in the city are living with dogs.
Well, I think as populations get, you know, I guess more dense,
yeah,
it can exacerbate issues that might not be much of an issue in the country.
Right, good point.
Yep. And so, you know, my experience is walking around parks in Seattle, different areas where people are, you know, letting their dogs either off leash or run on a retractable leash, which can be, you know, upwards of 30 feet in length, and that it actually looks like that's illegal because the leash law says 8 feet. And so if you have your retractable leash extended past 8 feet, then you are technically breaking the law. And I've actually, I've put a call in to clarify, to kind of see where animal control is on that issue. So I'll have some more information about that hopefully next week as I get to talk with the coordinator of that. So we have Joyce in Fremont on line one. Hi, Joyce.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I just tuned in, and yesterday I had the scariest experience. I don't have a dog. I was rollerblading on Alki.
Uh-huh.
And there was a couple in front of me with two dogs, and as I rolled by, their one dog attacked me, mm-hmm. grabbed onto my pant leg, and just started pulling me.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner just kind of, you know, he didn't go to hold the dog. He just kind of yanked on the leash. I didn't fall, which was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And when the dog let go, the guy's like, "Get out of here. You need to get out of here."
Wow.
And it's like, what? And
yeah.
He said, "Well, I didn't hear you."
Mm.
And I said, "Well, you don't need to hear me. Your dog's not ready to be in the public."
Mm-hmm.
And the dog was like up on his back legs, ready to come again.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea what I was supposed to do, why somebody would take a dog like that in public. And for me, it was like the scariest thing that's happened to me in a really long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you say that you don't have dogs?
No, I love mm-hmm. dogs, though. I'm like the animal queen.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, this is such a good example, and I'm so glad that you called to share your experience, because it's kind of brings in a whole bunch of problems, and it's such a good example of the issue, is that so many of these incidences happen as a result of human judgment or lack of judgment. So, you know, a dog who has a tendency to lunge and grab for things that move quickly by them. And as a dog trainer, I can tell you that there are a lot of dogs that do have this issue. You know, people need to not bring their dogs into these environments because, you know, it puts people at danger. It puts other dogs at danger, and it puts their own dogs at danger because they can get, you know, sighted and, you know, if it happens enough times, taken from them and euthanized. So it's, you know, it's typically a lack of judgment on the human's part where, you know, dogs who have that kind of behavior or that kind of potential just should not be.
Yeah, not at the most. I mean, I was thinking, well, if I'd been a little kid and I'd run past, that would have been really scary.
Well, yeah, I mean, potentially.
I pant leg torn, and that was it. But yeah, that was shocking to me.
Well,
and I turned to the girl because I thought, okay, sometimes female energy is a little more gentle.
Yeah.
And I said, your dog really doesn't need to be here. And she just yelled at me too.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay. Yeah.
So, I know. And it's so frustrating because you feel like, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. And then especially if people are like, then start to like blame you for it or something.
Yeah. So it was disappointing.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry that that happened. And, you know, I'm hoping to get some awareness and education out there so things like that don't happen so much.
Yeah. And it didn't help the love of the breed either.
No.
It's like, okay, I recognize that face.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you that, there are many, you know, herding breeds especially are prone to doing that type of behavior where something moves past them quickly. So it's a dog, definitely a broad dog thing, but I definitely understand where you're coming from on that. So
yep.
Thanks so much for your call.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
So, you know, a situation where that ultimately it's, the you know, people can get people are just difficult.
Yes, well.
And, you know,
it makes you wonder sometimes if there should be a license for having it. I mean, I know that you get your dog's license, but should there be like a training course like they require you to do when you're, you know, taking your driving test? Should there be a dog test?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like so there's so many things with what happened here where she's rollerblading, I think, on Alki, she said.
Hmm.
And, you know, she rollerblades by some people with a dog and the dog grabs her pant leg. And
right.
It could have been her leg. That's a dangerous dog, a dog that if that dog is going to be out in public, needs to be muzzled.
Mm-hmm.
Because the dog was triggered by the quick motion by. So, you know, there's all these explanations for it, but mainly what people need to understand is that it's their job. It was that dog's owner's job to protect that dog from being in a situation where it's going to potentially hurt somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Because the person, you know, who's just the innocent bystander is potentially in danger.
Or by roller in this case.
By roller. and the dog itself.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's irresponsible. And then for them to just be yelling at her to get out of here, it's really unacceptable. And I'm so frustrated by this because as a dog lover and as somebody who wants to protect the species in their role in society, we get people out there who are just
irresponsible.
Irresponsible, yeah. And giving people, you know, the general public a bad idea
of
what it's like having
dogs, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And especially certain breeds that have a hard enough time as it is. So, you know, and there's a another example too that I heard of.
I have a question just in regards to this.
Mm-hmm.
Now she was just, you know, rolling by and the dog kind of nipped at her leg there.
Bit her, grabbed her pant leg.
Yeah, grabbed her pant leg. Is there a good way to react to an aggressive dog like that as just the innocent bystander or by-roller, as the case may be? Is there a better way to react in a situation like that? I mean, obviously you're scared and you're just trying to get away from the dog, and that's your natural response. But is there, like, or should you try to appear big? Is it, you know, like they say about bears, you know, you try and appear big, but
well,
I don't know how you
at
ever
that
appear
point,
big to a bear.
The one thing that I can say is to stay calm.
Mm-hmm.
And to try to stay calm and grounded and confident as much as you can. It's so hard if something happens and catches you off guard.
Yeah.
You know, I think number one would be to try to defend yourself, but to generically answer the question would be to just stay calm. Mm. You know, it's one thing too, if the dog's already got you versus if,
right.
you know, you're being approached, but you know, to just kind of stay calm, hold your ground, you know, not do anything to provoke. Like I know like for bears or cats, you're supposed to like, if you have a backpack on, to raise the backpack up or something like that. But
try to appear as big as possible is what they say.
Right. But that's when like a hiking, usually in a hiking
right.
situation too.
Right.
Mainly with aggression. And it so depends on the root of the aggression because there's so many different causes of it
mm-hmm.
and different types of dogs who experience aggression differently. So if it's a kind of aggression where the dog's in a frenzy versus the kind of aggression where the dog is just fearful of you, you know, reacting in different ways. Mainly, though, I would say to stay calm and to not act, you know,
manic or
and you know, to do what you need to do to protect yourself.
Great.
But it's a good question. So, and this kind of stuff happens every day,
mm-hmm.
many times a day. So, you know, Joyce called and shared her experience. This is something that happens all over the city every day, and it's ultimately, you know, we can get our egos involved in it and just get defensive or, you know, make up excuses or whatever. But the ultimate thing is that we need to protect our dogs. And so make responsible choices. Don't put them in situations if you know they have the potential for this. Denial is very powerful and it can get your dog taken from you and euthanized. So, and potentially hurt somebody else or somebody else's dog. So, thanks for the call, Joyce. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And we've still got time to take a couple more questions, so give us a call now at 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington at 888-298-KKNW. That's 888-298-5569. Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area, licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, now on Thursdays at 1 p.m. I take your calls and talk with your animal companions about anything you'd like to know from them. You can also talk with your loved ones, both human and animals, on the other side. Tune in to Talk With Your Animals Thursdays at 1 with me, Joy Turner. Thanks for listening.
Commune with the Pop Oracle on the Radio 8 Ball Show. I'm Andras Jones, the host of the Radio 8 Ball Show, where we answer your questions by picking songs at random and interpreting them as the answers, like picking musical tarot cards. That's the Radio 8 Ball Show on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Don't miss the Radio 8 Ball Show, now at its new time, Wednesdays at noon, here on Alternative Talk, 1150.
Thanks to its listeners, Alternative Talk 1150 has become the most refreshing talk radio in our area. Now we want to hear more from you. Log on to 1150kknw.com and take a brief survey. Besides helping improve your favorite station, you'll have a chance to win an overnight trip to Victoria, BC, courtesy of the Victoria Clipper. Log on now to 1150kknw.com to be heard and to have a chance at winning. Contest details posted online.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Forget their space and come check out our space on the web, 1150kknw.com, and find out about Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. And we've been discussing leash laws and, you know, how important it is to be responsible with your dog out in public to protect the general public and to protect your dogs. We had a caller who talked about just yesterday, I think she said she was rollerblading in Alki, and a dog grabbed her leg as she rollerbladed past it, and the people with the dogs just yelled at her to get out of here and...
Yeah, they chastised her as if she had done something wrong, which is ridiculous, obviously.
Yeah. And ultimately, you know, I think what people need to understand for those people who would, you know, do, you know, react in that way if where their dog bit somebody is that they need to understand that the dog needs them to protect it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they can puff up all they want and, you know, try to, you know, turn it around and blame it on the woman or say that, you know, she shouldn't have rollerbladed by them or whatever, but it's just not valid. And ultimately what that can get them is their dog taken away and euthanized. So, you know, it's too bad that that happened. She did have a question though about what she should do. And I actually have, had this document on my desktop ready to go, which actually answers her question according to the Seattle Animal Shelter. So I thought I would share that information with the listeners about other tips that may prevent or stop a dog attack. The first thing they say is don't run past a dog. Dogs naturally love to chase and catch things, so don't give them a reason to become excited or aggressive. That is true, and I would say a dog that can't be trusted with fast-moving things shouldn't be at a place like Alki or Green Lake or somewhere where there are people within their fully within their right enjoying the ability to run or rollerblade on the sidewalk, and people shouldn't have to look out for dogs to just, you know, lunge at them. However, there are a lot of people who own dogs who don't make the best judgment calls and do have dogs out there who shouldn't be. So it is a good thing if you're out at a place like that to just give yourself, you know, an extra few feet so that if a dog lunges that they will hit the end of the leash as opposed to reaching you. So that's kind of a good thing if you're jogging or rollerblading to try to give as much space as possible when you pass a dog. Says never disturb a dog that's caring for puppies, sleeping, or eating. If a dog approaches to sniff you, stay still. So I talked to her about really staying calm as a good rule of thumb.
Mm-hmm.
Try to stay calm and grounded. In most cases, the dog will go away when it determines you're not a threat. If you're threatened by a dog, remain calm. Don't scream. If you say anything, speak calmly and firmly. Avoid eye contact. Try to stay still until the dog leaves or back away slowly until the dog is out of sight. Don't turn and run. It's a good way to get chased.
Mm-hmm.
If you fall or are knocked to the ground, curl into a ball with your hands over your head and neck to protect your face.
What about if you're with your dog and you encounter an aggressive dog like that? Your dog naturally wants to jump in and defend you and, you know, just protect you and themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously that could end up in a dangerous situation for everybody involved. So
mm-hmm.
what's the best way to react to that as the owner with your dog?
Mm-hmm. Well, it kind of depends on what's going on specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But if a dog sort of, sometimes dogs will charge and just, you know, charge and bark.
Uh-huh.
But they'll kind of maintain a space, sort of a buffer, and they're just kind of wanting you to keep moving,
mm-hmm.
and they're being territorial. So if that's ever happened where a dog has been off-leash in a neighborhood, which they shouldn't be, and it's unfortunate that people do have to deal with this because it is illegal and it's mm-hmm. just inconsiderate, is I'll just keep walking. Or depending on sort of the space, I'll just sort of turn around and walk in the other direction calmly and evenly and just kind of like, all right, we're going to go, you know, this way and just avoid and then go around.
Is there something you can say or do for to get your dog the message to cool his jets and that we're walking the other way?
Just general training with a dog to be able to handle dog distractions like that and still remain calm definitely helps to, if you are approached by an aggressive dog, to not feed into the energy, the aggressive energy of mm-hmm. the situation. So if you can really just get your dog's focus on you and just let's go and we're both just going to kind of walk this way and not have the dog get all amped up.
Uh-huh.
But that's not easy to do. It's certainly doable, but dogs, you know, one of their primary roles for us is to protect.
Mm-hmm.
So if the dog perceives a threat, most dogs, well, a lot of dogs, especially with that nature, are going to do what they can to protect themselves and their pack. So there's a lot of, you know, that's where leadership comes into place with leash walking. But generally speaking, I think the calmer and more even that you can do things, the better, to avoid something from, you know, to kind of dodge the bullet, so to speak. You know, if your dog gets jumped on, people will just pretty much do what they need to do to break it up and
protect their dog as well as themselves.
You know, if that's an issue in your neighborhood, you can carry something with you, like a pepper spray. You know, in the event of an attack where mm-hmm. there's actually contact being made and your dog is being attacked, that's definitely, you know, an alternative for people. So,
okay.
Yeah. Good question.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Obviously, so you don't want to go just like spraying every
absolutely not. And that's, you know, that's another topic is distinguishing between, you know, normal dog aggression of the mm-hmm. dog barking at you to go away, which is what we've expected dogs to do for potentially over 100,000 years.
Right.
Versus a dog, you know, being inappropriate in that, or, you know, kind of going for taking the next step where you do have to take action.
What about carrying some treats? Does that ever help or work, that you can give the aggressive dog a treat to get him to calm down, or is that a bad idea?
I don't think that, well, in theory.
Like, let's say you've got some bit of love in your pocket or whatever that you carry with you, and then, you know, the dog comes up aggressive, you toss one of those at him.
And it'll just start smiling.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I suppose if you, like, you see in movies and stuff, like if you had a steak and you threw the steak.
Well, most people don't walk around with a steak in their pocket, but.
My gut is to say that it's probably not going to. It depends on how food motivated the dog is and how frenzied the dog is. Because a lot of dogs, if they get upset enough, that their appetite kind of turns off.
Oh, okay.
So, it would be, if you had treats on you for training your own dog, you could mm-hmm. certainly try it.
Right.
Throw treats, but, you know, they don't typically work. You know, a good example of that, too, is like a dog who's loose and you try to, you know, coax them to coming to you because they're obviously, they got out.
Right.
They typically don't care about food because they're too stressed out.
Uh-huh.
Well, we are we're getting close to being out of time. There are some good articles on examiner.com. Examiner.com/Seattle. If you go to the pets section, you will find my articles. I am the dog training, behavior, and nutrition examiner for Seattle. And there's also some good Seattle Pet Laws Examiner. There's a Seattle Tacoma Dog Examiner who's got some really important, good articles out there. So that's a great resource to check that out. Mainly just be careful. If your dogs have an aggressive tendency, don't put them in a situation where they're going to get in trouble, because ultimately what could happen is you could lose your dog. And nobody wants that. And we also need to protect people and be respectful of other people. You can also visit dogtalkshow.com for all of our past shows that are available just with a click, and you will instantly hear them. And you can send me an email if you'd like me to send you a Dog Talk Show sticker with our cute logo. They're waterproof, weatherproof stickers, great for your car. Email me at host@dogtalkshow.com. And
Urine proof,
yes. All right, you've listened to the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.